This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Welcome in. It's episode 38 of the Inferno Podcast. I'm your host, Landrum Roberts. Today's podcast being brought to you in part by our friends at Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. Coming up today, we're going to catch up with UAB men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy. It has been since pre-conference tournament we last talked to AK, and a lot has happened. You guys graduating, you have departures, you have arrivals, 10 new Blazers to date that we can talk about. So AK will talk about that and a lot of other fun things as well. Also, we'll get into what else is on the slate for the late spring, early summer, UAB Athletics, and so much more. It's episode 38. So glad you're with us. AK is next. It is the Inferno.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB Athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
The Inferno Podcast, Blazer fans, we've made it really, really easy for you. There's a lot of different ways that you can consume this podcast each and every week, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. But you're going to appreciate it because we're going to keep you up to date on everything going on within the athletics program, the green and gold. YouTube, it's pretty simple. At Inferno Podcast UAB, like, subscribe, ring the bell, tell your family about it, your friends, your neighbors, spread it around the office. This thing is going to catch fire, literally. Appreciate you joining us there on YouTube. But also Instagram, you can find us Inferno_pod on Twitter, or the X if you prefer, at Inferno_pod_UAB. On Facebook, that's kind of the OG, right? UAB Athletics, you can find it there on Facebook. And, of course, you can go to UABSports.com. We've got links, we've got all different ways. There is no excuse for you to miss the Inferno Podcast each and every week.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. Landrum Roberts along with UAB men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy. It's our Coach's Corner segment brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. Coach, how are you?
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
Season ends, you forget about
it. You look good. You look younger.
Do I?
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Appreciate you.
Maybe it's the
that.
Gear. Did you go out for a run before you came up here?
I didn't. I got a workout in this morning. I've got a lot of really, really challenging habits, but so I try to exercise. I have a theory that maybe if you exercise really, really hard, even though science says this is nonsense, I still believe if you exercise really, really hard, you can overcome some of the other things.
Like eating whatever you want?
Yeah, I'm not one thinking about eating.
You probably.
I was thinking about
drinking
whatever I want.
Sure. You're a wine guy, right? Is it wine your go-to when you have, not have to have one? That sounds horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of, I'm good with everything.
It just depends.
Yeah, I'm everything.
Because we're getting into like pontoon boat season.
Oh, yeah, man. Big pontoon boat fan.
And you go on a cruise and,
Yeah, I'm not doing wine there.
No, come on, you're not doing wine. No. You can do a 12-ounce cold snack.
Yeah, I like the pontoon boat. Do you have one?
I used to. Used to have a pontoon boat.
Yeah. I bet you were good on it.
I was good on it.
I'm really good on it. I'm a really good pontoon boat rider.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic.
One of those deluxe pontoon boats.
I wouldn't know the difference, but I know this. I'm really good at riding on one.
If you had been on my pontoon boat and then you got on a deluxe, you would know the difference.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had the exposed gas tanks in the back, but happy boating season to everyone out
there. Yeah, be safe out there.
Yeah, be safe. All right, let's get into this because a lot has happened since the end of the season. First of all, I am still getting to know your new roster as
yeah,
a lot of UAB fans are, and you are.
Of course.
I'm guessing that as far as your off-season recruiting, guys you're bringing in, of course, with the transfer portal, a lot of things have changed here in the last few years. But you got 10 new faces. Can we go back to the end, though, of the season? I heard you in a post-game. On the radio broadcast.
When's the last time I did this? I did this leading into the conference tournament, I believe.
Yeah. Right. And a good
so
one.
A lot has happened.
A lot has happened.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to.
Okay.
We finished the regular season. I don't remember the last time what the setup was, but I do know this. So we played Florida Atlantic in our last home game, senior night. Even though all these kids have extra years, you still, you know, I knew that Tony, Alejandro Vasquez, their last game in college. Yaxel, we knew it was going to be his last year at UAB. Chris Coleman, we felt like it was going to be his last year at UAB. Tyron Moore, it was going to be his last year at UAB. All those kids will continue to have collegiate eligibility. But so we go through senior night, and we have a big win against FAU. It just so happens that it corresponded with somebody getting beat, and therefore we knew, regardless of what happened in the finale at Tulane in New Orleans, we were going to be the 3 seed. We really couldn't move up. We really couldn't move down. So we go to Tulane, and that was probably a mistake in on my part. I thought it might take pressure off the guys to say, hey, man, we're, you know, just go out and play, man. We're going to be the 3 seed, yada, yada, yada. And that didn't work so good. So we didn't play good. Give Tulane credit. They beat us. So now we're going as the 3 seed to Frisco, Texas. You know, it's the last year that the tournament's at Frisco. Mm. They haven't told us where it's going to be next year. I think UAB is Birmingham is in play over time, but this last year at Frisco. So we go to Frisco, and we're playing the winner of whoever ECU beat, because it was ECU, but whoever they beat. And now we're playing East Carolina, and East Carolina had beaten us during the regular season. Well, that was Yaxel's 30-point, 20-rebound, 8 assists, 5 block, 4 steal, 0 turnover night. One of the most spectacular exhibitions of basketball in NCAA basketball over the last 25 years. Phenomenal. You know, and he and I have been on this show together a number of times, and I would always pick at him about, you know, being more assertive. You know, coach always wants me to be more assertive. He wants me to be more assertive. That was – and I'm not saying that Yax should have averaged 30 points, 20 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 blocks, 4 steals, 0 turnovers. But that was what I was looking for. That was the Yax that Manny dominated that game. And so we win convincingly. Then we play North Texas, you know, which has always been a battle. We get through them by 10. And now we're playing Memphis again in round 3. And unfortunately, we just were not able to get that done. But it was the 4th straight time that we were in a conference tournament championship game. We were leading at the half, didn't play well enough. Kudos to Memphis. They were by far the best team in our league this year, both regular season and conference tournament. They proved that. So now the season is over. Well, at the time, I don't really look into these things. There actually are websites, believe it or not, that do this NITology, you know, like bracketology, and they do it, and they kind of project a this or that, whatever. So going into the conference tournament championship game on that Sunday in Frisco, I knew that we had to win that to get to the NCAA tournament. I looked at what are our odds on playing in the NIT, and we weren't, you know, projected by many people to be in the NIT. We lose the game. We're getting out of there right after. By the time we land back in Birmingham, the NIT, who does its selection show later that evening on Sunday after the NCAA tournament
kind of gets
show.
Lost.
Yeah, of course. And it's like on the Sci-Fi Network or something. I mean, it's really bizarre. It's like Home Improvement, and then we go to the NIT select. So, but we get a text. We found out when everybody else. They don't call you and say, "Hey, coach, you know, blah blah blah." We got a text that, "Hey, we're in the NIT." So we land, and I didn't know, honestly, just being, you know, Yaks had played a gazillion minutes. Jabori had suffered, you know, a little bit of a concussion there in the end. I didn't know if we even had bodies to play in the NIT. And I see now that we're in the NIT, so we're scrambling around like, what does this mean, da-da-da. By the time we got from the airport to our practice facility, our home base, we had seen, hey, not only are you in the NIT, but you're playing against St. Joe in Philly on Wednesday. Here we go. You know, so we kind of left that night not even knowing. I was like, I don't even know. Do we have enough bodies? Well, just so happens that Philadelphia is very close to where Yaxel was raised, and so he was excited. He wanted to play, and when he wanted to play physically and Jabori was healthy enough to play, we went and played the game, and I'm glad we did. You know, we beat an A-10 team on the road. It was great. We had Team Yaxel in the building. They then sent us west to Santa Clara. Have you ever been to Santa Clara?
I haven't.
It's close to San Jose. And it's just a community. It's like Vestavia of San Jose.
Okay.
Beautiful campus. It wasn't a lot of people in the building, but we were down like 17 or 18, came back and won that. And they said, hey, now as a prize, you get to stay out here. And we stayed out and unfortunately didn't get it done against UC Irvine. So crazy ending to the season on a number of fronts. But I was proud of our guys for continuing to fight, continuing to try to represent four straight postseasons for our team. We've now won six games in the NIT over the last two. You know, sometimes people, I hate this as a basketball coach. A lot of times you almost have to apologize for being in the NIT. But I don't ever hear anybody apologizing for winning the Outback Bowl.
No.
Or the Bahamas Bowl. You know, it's just
great point.
The way things are positioned now, it's pretty ironic, you know, that hey, if you get to a bowl game, it's a season for celebration because that's the way it's always been. If you go to the NIT, even though, you know, there's 364 teams in Division I basketball, only 68 go to the NCAA, 32 go to the NIT, 100 at 364. Molly with the math, that's about 19-20% of invited postseason appearances. So I didn't want to apologize for that, especially going and winning two games on the road. I wish we could have culminated it by finishing the deal against UIC and getting to the NIT Final Four for the second time in 3 years, but we weren't able to get that done.
In addition to preparing for that next matchup versus UIC, were you able to maybe maximize being out there on the West Coast? I'm not even talking about leisure. You had to plan for that next matchup, but recruiting, maybe going and doing some other things?
No, I mean, because things are spinning so quick. This is portal time, and things were spinning real, real quick. My family went out, both of my daughters, Caitlin and Megan, and my wife, Kimber. They like those trips. Now, if we were going to Peoria, they probably wouldn't have said, "Hey, Dad, can
they
I
find
come?
Something else to do?"
But they're all into that Cali life. So, and my youngest daughter, Caitlin, she had a birthday that we celebrated out there. Took her to Nobu, like the real Nobu, the Nobu. Ooh, they're proud of that sushi. When I got that bill, I was making sure I got years left on my contract.
Yeah.
So we had a few, they had a lot of fun. I had fun in Santa Clara, not so much in Irvine.
Yeah, Irvine, that was a heck of a game. A lot of things that I can remember from that one. One would be
we had a couple of leads and they just came right back. Bam,
yeah,
bam. And then Yaks,
I
hate it for Yaks, but
that was not his best.
It was probably the worst 3 minutes of his career.
Yeah,
it just didn't go for him. And we had it, you know, we had him right there. It's unfortunate that was his last moments at UAB. But man, what a career he'll be remembered for forever and ever in the history of UAB basketball.
One of my biggest takeaways, you can't put that 7-footer for them on the line. He's deadly from the free throw line. And I thought Tillis was actually a pretty good player.
Boy, really good player.
Yeah.
He looks like he would be picked about ninth in the Shades Valley Y.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he'd have to be the guy. You can't, when you go shirts and skins, he would have to be the shirts guy. That would be too much.
No, he don't need it.
Man, I thought he was the best player on the floor.
Yeah.
And then they had a little Asian guard that was just chopping us up.
He's annoying.
Pardon the pun.
If you're not pulling for that team, he is annoying.
Man, he's good.
He's really good.
He's in the portal, and he went somewhere interesting. I can't call off the top of my head, but they had a good basketball team. Russell Turner, their coach, has been out there a long time. They won 30 games back-to-back. I mean, pretty impressive. He's in the one bid league, so they didn't get to the NCAA tournament. But it was an interesting trip because you go out there and it's just a different vibe, as you well know. And you know, you go into these buildings and there's not a lot of people there.
You got the natural light coming in,
and you got the locker room situation where it's like. Did Bill Russell sit on this stool? I mean, there hadn't been a lot of upgrades going on back then. I mean, just it was really bizarre. And I was hoping that – and what's ironic, Ray Harper, the head coach of Jacksonville State, and I are friends. And so through the infinite wisdom of the NCAA, and, you know, they're super smart people, they sent Jacksonville State and UAB west. We were playing Santa Clara in the first round. Jack State was playing Irvine. If they would have won – and then we did, then we would travel all the way back to play the next game right here in the old friendly confines. So, unfortunately, that didn't work, but it was quite a trip.
All those dollars from the NCAA being well spent on.
Yeah, they cover your cost of travel and.
Needless travel.
They did it to us when we went to the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. They sent us, Auburn, Alabama, to Spokane.
That's right.
Think about that now. And they sent Samford to Salt Lake City. It just doesn't make sense. I'm not saying that it has to be where we're, but there are other locales. It just makes no sense. And then they talk about lack of money and we got to do this and we got to do that. And yet you're just throwing it out the window. It's an expensive trip out to Spokane. I don't know if you've ever been. Have you ever been?
I've never been to Spokane. Yes. I'm trying to remember. Who is the guy?
Yeah, it's different out there. It was different than I thought. It was like
That has the campus, the house there on campus at Gonzaga, a famous guy. They have his house, and you can go and tour the house. Yeah.
The only famous guy I know is Mark Few, friend of mine, but you're not talking about him.
It's interesting that you mention his name because I got to go out behalf of Westwood One to the Final Four in San Antonio and right there on Radio Row, and we're there in the convention center. This was two days leading up to the first games we had on that Saturday, and Mark Few was – he was there as part of a symposium or giving a speech or whatever, and just in passing conversation. And I know that Mark Few would not care about this, but somebody was saying, hey, what you said in there was absolutely correct. Absolutely. And it was just the news. And I don't know the particular player. I think it was the kid that went from New Mexico State, went to a school there in California. And the reports were that he had signed. He's a guard. Elite guard.
Donovan Dent. I'm familiar.
Donovan Dent. $3 million NIL deal. Mark Few was talking about that, and he said the reality is, and a lot of people don't know, these things that get reported, they're getting passed on to the media outlets by people that are misrepresenting.
Agents.
And they're inflating.
Agents.
And then all of a sudden, he said, instead of verifying, and in some cases, I guess you have no way to verify, what are we doing? We're reacting to it, and we're driving the price out even more, which... That hit home for me in thinking, okay, not only is it already upside down in the Wild Wild West, but you have coaches acknowledging it, but knowing that, well, if you want this particular player or that particular player, you almost have to play the game.
Yeah, the market is really, really inflated right now for a number of reasons. Let me tell you this. We can get back to that point. This is better. Let me tell you my Mark Few story. So you know how I met Mark Few?
Mm-mm.
So when I came to UAB... And back in the old days, you had to sit out. So I come from North Carolina State, and I come to UAB, and I sit out. It means I practice with the team, but I'm not eligible to play. We had a grad assistant named Dan Munson. You know, Dan Munson's father was the great Don Munson, who was at the head coach at Oregon forever. They called him the Bear.
Yeah.
And he and Coach Bartow were friends. I think they had homes close to one another in Palm Desert. They were golf friends. So we would play. Even when I was a player, we would play Oregon like home and home. How bizarre is that, right? So Dan Munson had come as a GA, so he would work me out, blah, blah, blah. GAs are 2 years. When I became eligible to play my first year, Dan then had gone to Gonzaga as an assistant coach. He's an assistant at Gonzaga. The athletic director and the head coach, I can't call his name at the time, something had happened and he was forced to step down as the head coach, but he remained as the athletic director and he named Dan Munson the coach, and that's when Gonzaga started. Well, Dan Munson hired Mark Few. So way back when.
Wow.
What's the bar? It's not even there anymore. It was a Mexican restaurant. It's in Homewood. It's right off Highway 280, sitting up there on the top, Hollywood, whatever that called.
Yeah.
What was the name of that bar? That's where I met Mark Few and Dan Munson.
PT's?
My man.
Yeah,
PT's was all right.
Yeah, PT's was really good.
Yeah, it had a weird odor. Or was that just me? I remember it had a smell.
Call it a distinct smell.
I would say very Dugan's like Club South.
No, PT's, they had it going on.
No, PT's was rocking and roll. What happened?
Long story.
All right.
Long story. But yeah.
They were rocking and rolling for a while. So that's where I met Mark Few way back when.
We could do this all day.
Oh, I could do
Coming up
that.
Next, we're going to meet some of those new additions, and you can break it
we're
down
not
for
meet
us.
Them.
Well, no.
We'll talk about them.
They're not here yet. He's hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get to that and so much more. The Inferno Podcast, Landrum Roberts, Andy Kennedy. We continue. Welcome back in the Inferno Podcast. Landrum Roberts continue to be joined by UAB men's head basketball coach Andy Kennedy. We kind of wrapped up with where the season ended in the NIT. But when you address your team, first of all, you knew who would most likely not be coming back, some for certain. But when I remember from that radio broadcast and you closing and saying, hey, a lot of these faces you are not going to see here next year. With your roster, how much you were going to be able to retain? You don't have to get into specific names. You know you don't. But how many from that roster were you surprised by the decision to go elsewhere?
You know, at the time, we didn't have Greg Gordon since mid-December. We didn't have Will Shaver as we entered, I don't remember, maybe into league play. So we were already at 11. I had redshirted R.J. Kennedy to preserve his eligibility, so we were at 10, and I was playing about eight or nine guys. I knew there at the end there was going to be conversation. Some guys needed to find their level, so like an R.J. Kennedy. He ended up transferring to New Hampshire, and he needs to play. He needs to find his level. Makai Miles. We had some guys that we just had real conversations with, and then they have to figure out what they want to do as we painted the picture as to – how we saw things evolve in their current situation at UAB. And then you know, the actual situation I was very upfront with in trying to position him for what's next in his life. And then, you know, Chris Coleman, Jabori McGee, we just had conversations. And, you know, what are you doing? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? And how can I help you accomplish that? And that's what we did. I didn't know we wouldn't have anybody back, but I was pretty certain just based on the trajectory of NIL and the transfer portal that we were going to have to reboot our entire roster.
Starting with the reboot, the clean slate, you said nobody coming back. Was that – how do you view that as a coach? Because now in the portal era, it's somewhat that's the case for a lot. This seems extreme.
Yeah, and it's exhausting. I'll tell you this. It's the most challenging. I just finished my 18th year as a head coach, 28. I was assistant for 10, then I was a player for four, actually five because of my sit-out year. So I've been in this space over 30 years. I've never seen a more challenging period for myself personally than what we're still going through. There's just so much change. There's so much you don't really know. Everybody wants an outline. Like you got a little outline here and you kind of want to follow and you know, okay, we're talking about you've got some things going on. And you and I are old enough to remember the old Etch-a-Sketch.
Of course.
Molly, Etch-a-Sketch. Yeah. So in the Etch-a-Sketch, you know, that's what I feel like the rules are.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to know what the rules are. I mean, what are we trying to get to? Is this just a tough transition that ultimately we're going to come out better on the other side, meaning as a sport, meaning as an industry, meaning intercollegiate athletics? Or are we just Etch-a-Sketching our way through this? Hey, drawing something and then the next day saying, okay, this is going to be the blueprint. No, not we're kidding. We're going to start over, and that's what it feels like to me. Now, I've been on the show a lot. You and I have had a lot of conversations, and I'm pretty consistent in the fact that hey, when guys drive into traffic, what do I tell them? Let's play off 2 feet so you can pivot out of trouble. So I'm having to live that. I'm having to play off 2 feet. I'm having to constantly pivot, make quick evaluations, be dependent on a network that has been built over my 30 years in this business to try to put the pieces of our puzzle, meaning UAB basketball, back together. Because, listen, everybody consistently says, this is a very, very bizarre time in the history of intercollegiate athletics. Boy, I don't envy you guys. I don't know how you do it, Coach. I hear all of that. Man, I know we're just at a competitive disadvantage financially. How in the world are we going to compete with so-and-so? But in November, ain't nobody want to hear all that.
No.
Hey, they want the Blazers to win.
That's right.
And they can come and they can say, hey, man, this is a difficult time. They want the Blazers to win. That's the expectation of this program. So I understand that. So I am just trying to do as best I can to put us in the best position possible to have a competitive team. We've been fortunate in our 5 years here to be good in that area. And in year six, my expectation is the same.
You have the knack for it. Because it's, if I heard it in the time that we last spoke on this show and the guys that you've added, and we're about to get into some of those guys, I heard it from four different people. AK, he knows how to go get them. He knows how to go find them.
Yeah, it's a little different. I mean, I appreciate that. I'm not as dumb as I look. I don't know a lot of things, but I know ball. I think I'm a pretty good judgment of, hey, this guy can play. Number one, when we go through this process, and it really is speed dating. When we go through this process, number one, you got to be good enough. You know, you got to be good enough. You gotta have to have something that can get you into a locker room at the AAC level to be a competitive player. And then we really dig deep on the other stuff. Number one, you got to be good enough. Number two, what's our hook? How are we gonna? What's the connection? How do we sell this? Number three, what is he about? What are the goals? We all have different goals. What is the goal? And then we just sell. You know, the fact that we've won 125 games in the last 5 years. There's only 10 teams out of 364 in college basketball that can say they've won more. We've been in there, as I said earlier, we've been in four straight championship games. We've been able to win a couple of them. We've been in four straight postseason tournaments. There's an expectation here. Look what we were able to help. And we didn't do this. Don't misconstrue it. I didn't do anything. I just put these kids in a position to showcase what they were capable of doing, i.e. a Trey Jemerson, who comes in here from Clemson, and now he is in the same locker room with LeBron James and Luka Doncic. A Jelly Walker, who, again, no one – he was not on the map of college basketball to be in a finalist for the Cousy Award. To a Yaxel Lindeborg, they didn't even know how to say Yax's name until – about 6 months ago.
How many times did you use Yax's name in some of the pitches?
Yeah, we've got the whole thing. You know, sometimes it works, yeah. Creating future value, whether that be okay as a professional or whether that be chasing the bag. And I'm not mad at either. If you want to chase it, chase it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, dude, it's, you ain't going to have to run far here. our bag's not on a long leash. I mean, you got to get some cardio in the morning because you're not going to get a big workout if that's what it's about. But we're about putting you in the best position possible. We call it best version of self. Put you in the best position possible to be the best version of self, and then use that to help you further in your career.
And it's all about the money, but it's stupid money that certain guys – now, and it's not the case.
Some of it's life-changing money, and most of it's not.
Right.
But some of it is.
But for some of these programs that are going and gobbling up players, I think – more often than not, maybe they're overpaying for what they think they're getting, and they have that excess.
Oh, they're definitely doing that. I know what's out there.
That slush fund that they can go and they can spend this amount during this particular portal time. UAB is, as you just said, chasing the bag. You're not going to have to run long. But guys, you should be in it for not only with your head coaching success, the track record of your players and what they've gone on to do, you should be in it for some of these players. Unfortunately, because of the market, you can't go shopping there.
No, you get eliminated a lot. And a lot of guys can close deals a lot quicker than I can just by the signing of a check.
Sure.
And so we can't do that. So we have to – it is a money ball. I heard Trent talk about that. And it is a money ball mentality. You know, you've got to find a tangible asset. You know, in money ball, it was on-base percentage. You could overcome a lot of things. But what were – they got on base. Hey, he gets on base. Hey, he gets on base. So how does that – relate to basketball, then you have to have a skill. Can you make a shot? Can you get a rebound? Do you have size? I mean, there has to be a skill set that It puts him in a position where we feel like he's somebody that can fit a niche for us as we try to put this pieces of the puzzle together. And this is the most tumultuous time, I think, in the history of intercollegiate athletics, because you've got this house settlement that at the time of this taping they has not been settled yet. I think it will ultimately.
Pull them for you, Judge Claudia.
I mean, I think it will. And so when that happens, these people, these programs, wouldn't it be nice to have just this access money that you got to go spend before it goes bad, right? Yeah. Like eggs. Come on, man.
Yeah.
So we got to spend this money before they put this cap on, and then they're really then you're under some cap restrictions. So the money right now is as high as it'll ever be. Now, I'm of the belief that we're just starting this journey. I think there's some things. I think the NCAA is going to continue to get sued to oblivion. And this thing's going to completely restructure in the next, 36, 48 months, where it's not even going to be recognizable from what we both grew up understanding and having a feel for. That thing is going to continue to shift. I just hope I have a big fear as an alumnus, as a head coach, as the second all-time leading scorer in the history of the program. I've got a big fear about where UAB lands in all of this. And we've got to be really laser focused on this thing is going to shift, and it's going to shift tremendously.
And it's not just going to affect the UABs of the world. They're going to be recognizable programs at the Power Four level coach in other sports that have had success, very recent success, and a lot of it, that are going to have to make some really tough decisions. Really, I heard an administrator who you will know very well, former AD at a school that you have played in recent memory, that said what people don't realize, and yes, and this person works in women's, promoting women's athletics, but with women's college basketball, the average women's college basketball program at the Power Four level loses $1 million on average per year, per season, which is enough to fund all of the other women's sports. So in some of those cases, that could ultimately make some ADs have to make some really tough decisions.
Well, there's going to have to be some real hard decisions, because everybody thinks there's just all of this money out there, and that's really not the case. I mean, football makes a lot of money, spends a lot of money. Most of them are profitable at some level.
Right.
Men's basketball, because of the NCAA tournament, and if you have a successful program, you have the ability to monetize men's basketball. If you're in, and I was in the SEC for 12 years, so I'm very familiar with SEC baseball, a certain number of SEC baseball programs, and I'm sure there's a handful of others that can break even or monetize baseball, and then nobody else makes money. And so you still got a fund program. So all of this money that everybody thinks is out there really isn't out there as it relates to, spreading it and covering all the bases of the non-revenue producers. So I think those things are going to have to come into question, because I think we're getting closer and closer to this business model of, let's stop the charade of the student athlete. Let's stop the charade of NIL. This is pay for play. I think the quicker that we get our arms around that through collective bargaining, through giving the student athletes a voice, it's the only way that we're going to get any semblance of conformity.
When I heard something, and it was from the college football world, that a school that failed to meet the APR, I was like, when was the last time I heard APR?
Bro, I hear it all the time. It's still a thing. But they still hold me accountable to APR.
Right.
Even though
many of your kids had to be present in an actual classroom?
Well, you're asking me to violate HIPAA rules. Well, I'm not doing all that for you.
But there's so many that have never even stepped in a classroom. They just do it virtually.
Well, not at UAB.
Not at UAB.
I mean, rumor has it. I don't want to violate the student athletes' rights. But, it used to be the APR was based on you can't do all this transferring because you're going to lose these hours, and therefore you're not going to be on point to graduate.
What happened
to that?
Yeah, nobody.
What happened to that? We've lost our mission a bit.
Well, what's great, and so you would hear it, but me from Sports Talk Radio world, hearing that the other day, it's like, man, when's the last time we heard about a guy being ineligible for not making grades?
Who was it? I don't want to slander him, but somebody they were ineligible for a bowl next year because they didn't meet, was it?
Akron. Jomo.
I didn't want to say it.
Joe Moorhead, I love you. But Jomo, he's got all these other things. He's probably, that might have been the last thing. Surely we're going to meet the APR.
Yeah, because of the turnover and losing players. Like, again, I could give you specifics that would blow your mind about guys that are no longer on my team that I'm still on the hook for, And I could get penalized, and I don't have any control over them.
What was something besides bodies and guys with eligibility and pulses were you looking for specifically that maybe you thought at times last season, you know what, I wish we had one more of these, or if we were only a little bit better at this?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with this. We signed three kids during the early signing period. We signed two high school kids, Salim London, who went on to win his third consecutive state championship at Hoover High. Incredible run by that team.
That's a great get, Coach.
Yeah, great get. And in all honesty, in the old days when programs were signing four, five, sometimes six high school kids, we wouldn't have been able to get him. But everybody's like us.
Top 100 player.
Yeah, we signed two high school kids. So Alabama signs two high school kids. Auburn signs two high school kids. Tennessee signs two. So it opens up a market for high school kids that we currently couldn't get. And you would say, oh, man, that is fantastic. And it is fantastic if you could keep him there for 3 years and he could turn into Buddy Johnson, a very, very valuable piece to the puzzle. But after about a year, they may leave. It's just you can't really plan that way. So our plan is to have Salim London here and help, let him help us next year and let us help him next year and then see what happens in year two. We signed another kid named Lance Carr who won a state championship in Texas. I don't know if you are feeling a trend, but winning programs, winning begets winning. We think that's important to us. Then we went and signed a kid, and this is true old school recruiting, a kid named Evan Chapman, who only played 13 games at McLennan Junior College his freshman year because he had an injury, so he didn't play in the second half of the year. We see him in a tournament in July, really, really liked the kid, liked his game, fell in love with him.
Body language? You looking at all that?
The way he plays, man. Yeah. He plays like his hair's on fire and running around, great kid, great family, about the right things. We signed him. Everybody looked at us like, why are you signing that guy? Second team All-American, average about 20-something. I mean, that's where real recruiting comes in. We saw it. We addressed it. Then we go get a kid who was a first team All-American in Dejon Anderson. He made almost 133, second most in NJCAA last year.
122 made threes.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And we think he can come in and make an immediate impact while we're recruiting Evan Chapman at McLennan. We see a young man named Ari Gooch. How good a name is
that's
that?
That's so good.
I mean, tell you something, if I had a son, I'd say Ari Gooch Kennedy.
Yeah.
I mean, what a name.
Solid.
Solid name. So he's a teammate of Evan's. We see him over and over and doing our due diligence on Evan. Just goes to show you, if you're in a good program, more people get to see you. Love that kid and his upside. Then we jumped hard into the portal. Got a 6'10 kid. We're going to call him Big Joe. How would you say you're a smart guy. Pronounce his name for me, Dachakis. How would you say his name was?
Zeo Das Chagas.
You know, the Das Chagas is close, but the Zeo is not close. So we're going to call him Big Joe. I've already made that determination.
Big Joe?
We're going to call him Joe.
Can you give me an idea of how do you pronounce that?
No. If I did, I wouldn't ask you.
It's like, got, and when you go and you look at it, it's got the little, I don't even know if that's a tilde or if that's a squiggly.
Yeah, like a little accentuation thing. This kid's from Brazil. Great kid, 6'10", 250 pounds. Again, I don't want to get blasphemous because everybody remembers the Trey that was, not the Trey that when he first came in. He's got a little Trey to him. He's big. He plays with a motor. Great kid. Got a chance to be a really good player. And then we've jumped in this portal, man.
You know? Are we calling him again? JV?
Joe. Big Joe.
Big Joe.
Big Joe.
Big Joe. Yeah. I did too.
And I think he goes by JV. I like Joe. And I don't know where the V comes from. I don't see a V in any of
There's
that.
There's not a V in any of this.
So I have a hard time understanding that.
V stands for victory. You know, that's what he's going to bring.
Well, he's got another like thing in his name. Like it's a lot. It's a lot.
Arizona Western. I thought that was interesting. He played a year there.
He did play a lot. He played there, and he was at Indian Hills. And
Utah Valley originally?
Utah Valley originally. Then we signed a kid, Kyron Lindsay, who started out at Georgia.
Hang on, Coach. I'm going to go through my list. There it is.
Yeah, Kyron Lindsay started out at Georgia, went to Texas Tech. He's at Murray State, will be his fourth school. He's from Denton, Texas, ironically enough. Four-star kid coming out of high school.
Hey, take it there, boys.
Hey, he's got some strength. He plays with force, got an edge to him, grown man. Then we assigned a kid named Jacob Meyer, who got 16 a game at Coastal Carolina. He is from Kentucky. He was like the third or fourth all-time leading scorer in the history of the state of Kentucky.
Almost, prolific shooter.
Yeah, almost like 4,000 points, something stupid. Goes and plays for Cliff Ellis at Coastal, got like 15 or 16 a game, transferred to DePaul, got about 9 a game. game, but he was getting about 13 or 14 till the bitter end when his minutes got decreased immediately. He's a kid that he's like Mike Erdl, got a little more pop, but he's like Mike Erdl, man.
Okay.
Tough, can score it, lefty, combo, goes, gets baskets. I think he's got a chance to really come in here and make an immediate impact. And then we saw a kid named Chance Westry. Chance Westry started out at Auburn, four-star, top 50 player in the country. Played about 11 games at Auburn, got hurt, went to Syracuse. One thing led to another. It's been planes, trains, and automobiles. But he's coming to us at 6 foot six, about 200 pounds. He's a facilitating guard. Can play some one, can play some two, kind of makes other people better. He's got some size, really, really hungry to show that, hey, I'm still here, guys. And, you know, this four-star guy that everybody wanted coming out of high school, I can still play. Hopefully the injuries and all of the things that have occurred are behind him and we get best version of self. And then we signed another kid, Karan McPherson, who started out at Nebraska. He went to the St. Pat's School where Jelly went, where Alejandro Vasquez went. So we've same kind of clicked there, so we connected with him.
I saw Queens, New York. So yep. Any connection to AJ Vasquez?
They live one block apart. They grew up together. So that was kind of our intro, the kid. You know, and he plays a lot like AJ.
Yeah.
Downhill driver, strong kid. A guy that comes in as a grown man with a grown man approach. So we've still got two to get. We need to add one in the backcourt, one in the front court, and then we're going to put them in a bag, shake them up, rock and roll.
I told you before any of the cameras came on that I love this roster, and I couldn't wait for you to talk about them. And I know that you're as candid as you can be. We're waiting on those two last. But look, if you don't win a championship next year,
it's all coaching.
Shame on you.
We're just trying to put the pieces together, and everybody says, "Oh, how are you going to play?" And we don't really know. We'll figure it out just based on the skill set.
You got enough size, though, right?
I think so. We're going to get one more, 6'8", 6'9" guy. You know, this is another point. When the house settlement goes in, you can have 15. There are scholarship limits, so we're going to have 15. Now, you see, one of the snafus was they're going to have to grandfather in some of the kids that lost out based on these scholarship limits, more so in football than us,
yeah,
as they were chopping them in football. But we'll be at a maximum of 15, but we're not going to sign 15. I may even go, we've been at 13. I'm going to probably stop at 12. I might go to 13, simply just splitting the pie less. You got to try to moneyball it again.
Have some fraternity guys that come out, try out. You don't give them any money, but you let them dress and sit on the bench home games.
Yeah, okay.
Just to fill it out if you got jerseys laying around.
Wealthy parents, preferably, that can contribute to our NIL.
See?
Help me with that.
Yep. Daddy's living vicariously through junior and sitting
on
your bench.
Daddy can come take my seat. I'll sell my seat.
Attending practice, that's going to be better than debauchery.
I was wondering this. Tell me this, because you've got a legal background. For me, I wish if you see in the NBA now, like the UAB jersey, and there's a sponsor up here. You know, every NBA team has one sponsor. It's not gaudy. It's up here.
Soccer's been doing it for years, by the way.
I mean, I don't know why we're not doing that. But then you get caught into, well, who owns it? Does Learfield own that? Does Under Armour own that?
Right.
Is that that's a thing. But as the coach, why couldn't I go straight? Tats, maybe, Safeco or something on the side of my chest.
So you're saying you're open for potential advertisements.
Right.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I do that?
If it was a company that was going to pay you a lot of money for a toupee and you thought it looked ridiculous, would you put it on?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you'd say yes.
I don't have a lot of shame. Wimp used to do the plaid jackets.
Yeah.
I was thinking if you could do a jacket and just like a stock car. Wouldn't it be? Is that something you think I could do?
Yes. Like a driver's suit. That's what you're saying.
Not really, but I like that better.
But yeah.
That's like a onesie.
onesie, yeah. No.
I was thinking a sports coat.
There's potential
but
there.
With patches, like the.
Yeah. Or you can be like Biff Pogge, the former Charlotte football coach.
Sleeveless.
Sleeveless AK on the sideline.
I could pull it off better than him. I saw a couple of pics of him.
That was tough. Biff didn't care.
Yeah, obviously.
It was pretty obvious. By the way, I've had people ask me because it seemed like your team this past season shot better away from Bartow, especially from deep, than they did at Bartow. Have we had the rims checked? The rims are a little tight in there. Now, North Texas, those are some loose rims. That was a shooter's rim.
It was like a carnival.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Get that thing on the rim.
No, we don't need them that drastic, but have we checked the rims?
I haven't recently. Maybe I'll spin by there this afternoon.
Is that a hydro rib? Is that what it's called? I don't know. I just watch games.
I don't know, man.
You're in there every day. Just thought on that.
No, our gym has typically been a good shooting place. I didn't even know that. You think we shot better on the rim? Interesting.
If you can still make them in there, which I know you can, how many times this or during a season do you say, you know what, shut up, give me the ball?
No, I don't do that a lot.
You don't?
Not anymore. I mean, I played really competitively for years and years and years, and if I'm not going to be really good at it, I don't usually like to do it.
No.
That's a skill. I mean, that's an own skill. So I still got it, but it'd take me a while to get it back to the form that I need to have it, so I don't mess with it.
Give us a timeline. For right now, we know that there's two more additions you guys would like to add, and then what happens from now until we get into the fall?
We'll start summer school second week, June, first week, June, something like that. And that's when, you know, in not just UAB, but in NCAA basketball, you get 8 weeks of work that you can be with your whole team. Limited. It's not like they're in the regular season, but they give you an opportunity to touch them and to go through and try to figure some things out. So that'll start in early June. We'll go 3 weeks. We'll give them off July 4th, and then we'll come back and go 5 weeks, July through the first week in August. Then we'll have about 2 weeks off, then fall term starts. So that's kicking off here sooner rather than later. The 10 guys that we got are be here. We're trying to add to them. I don't want to settle. I don't feel like we've settled for anybody, and I certainly don't want to do it on these last two spots. They're too valuable. We've got to continue to vet. We've got to continue to sell our vision. And we got to continue to find the right pieces.
Where are you going
to
vacay?
I'll go to the beach eventually.
Okay.
This has not been a lot of fun just because of the, you know, this is more stressful than the season. And a lot of people say, Coach, why are you, you know, dude, you don't play till November. But if you don't do your work now, you're going to have a very, very unhappy fall and winter. And I'm not as dumb as I look. I realize that. So we have got to make sure that we finish this recruiting strong. My staff's done an amazing job of watching endless amounts of video and being on the phone 24/7, just trying to put us in the best position possible so that we can have a talented enough team that complements one another in order to give us a chance to get back to our fifth straight conference tournament.
You and the staff, I think, have done a wonderful job. No, you hadn't played one game with this group, but right now 1 through 10 looks really good.
Well, thank you.
Coach, go Blazers.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Andy Kennedy, head coach, UAB men's basketball. The Inferno podcast continues. This week in UAB athletics, UAB softball. Unfortunately, their season came to an end. But Coach Taylor Smart and the Blazers, successful season otherwise, because you got more wins in the win column this season over last season. And that is a team that improved in batting average, hits, extra base hits, and a lot of other categories. So Coach T. Smart and the Blazers falling in opening round action there in the American Athletic Conference tournament in Tampa to Memphis. But it was an outstanding year, and I know that Coach T. Smart building that program to where it needs to be. Also, UAB baseball, unfortunately, took it on the chin on the road this weekend as they took on Charlotte. Very good team. They're right there in the top tier of the American Athletic Conference baseball standings. Lose by a run on a Friday night. You lose by a run on Saturday and then two runs on Sunday, but they come up short. 7-17 in conference play overall. If you want a last chance to catch the Blazers at home, you can do so coming up. Beginning on Thursday, you got the three-game series versus FAU as the Owls come to town. Thursday, a 5 p.m. first pitch. Friday, a 5 p.m. first pitch. And Saturday, they'll get things started at 1. For comprehensive, up-to-date scheduling, news, notes, all of that good stuff, as always, you can go and find it at uabsports.com. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.